stand for the reading of God's holy word.
Hear these words as we read from the 33rd chapter of Jeremiah, beginning with verse 14. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise I made to the people of Israel and Judah. In those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called: the Lord, our righteous Savior. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive your words and put them into action in our lives. And may the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. You may be seated. So one day this man was walking along and he saw a baseball game, a little league baseball game going on. So he walked over to the dugout, and there's a little boy sitting there. And he asked the little boy, he said, so what's the score? The boy said, 18-0. And we're losing. And the man said, well, that's got to be a little bit discouraging, isn't it? He goes, no, why? We haven't even gotten up to bat yet. Our scripture text today, within chapters 31 through 33, is considered to be the book of consolation in the book of Jeremiah. And that's because the weeping prophet is giving a message from God to the children of God, letting them know that there is hope in the future. There is an opportunity in the future that they will be restored. And in days like today, that we live in now, the times that we live in, where there's uncertainty and there's all these different things that are going on, sometimes it seems like it's hopeless. When we look at how the world is going and we look at things going on in our own personal lives, sometimes we feel hopeless. We feel like God has deserted us, right? It feels like sometimes we're just out there by ourselves treading water. And so I think this message today is important to us, because what it does is it gives us that same ray of hope that Judah and Israel received from God through Jeremiah. There are things that come into our lives that we feel hopeless and helpless about, right? I mean, there are things where we really don't comprehend how to deal with them. We have the ending of innocence. When at some point in our lives, we willingly turn away from God. And we can't say, no, I've never done that, because we have. At some point, we've turned away. Maybe for 10 years like myself, or for 5 minutes, or even for just a moment's thought. We lose that innocence, that childlike innocence. And those are times of hopelessness. There are times when we are hopeless in the ending of harmony in our lives. And those are the times when someone we love or someone that is close to us hurts us, and there's no coming back, it will never be the same. Have you ever had someone that has done you wrong? You might remain friends, but you're not that close anymore. There are those times when we experience the ending of health. I was thinking the other day, as I was trying to get out of bed, that I'm going downhill real fast. A lot faster than I thought I would. But then again, back when I was your age, I thought I was ancient. 75 don't look that bad anymore coming up. But we do. We experience those times when our health starts dwindling a little, right? And I know for me, it's a hopeless feeling. It's a helpless feeling. There's nothing that I can do that's going to make it any better. Or I don't think there is. Then there is the ending of life when we face that moment when death enters into the equation and we lose someone who is near and dear to us, who is so close to us, and their passing, it leaves us feeling hopeless. It leaves us feeling helpless. And these endings seem to leave us powerless because they're so overwhelming. And we tend to sit back and try to find the answers to it. So back in World War II, when the U.S. Army had to retreat because the Japanese, I guess, were pushing so hard, and this was in the Philippines, the American soldiers moved back, but there were several who were left behind who became prisoners of war. And they basically nicknamed themselves ghosts because they were unseen by their nation. And this group of ghosts were forced to walk, and I hope I get this word right, Bhutan Death March. Bhutan. A 70-mile march to a POW camp. And along the way, in a long time, several of them died. But word at one point came back that the U.S. was making a strong surge again. And they were moving forward. But the hopeless feeling of those POWs was that the word they had gotten that because the United States was making such a march that the Japanese were executing the POWs. There was a surge of, let me make sure I get this right, 120 U.S. Army soldiers, 200 Filipino guerrillas that outflanked 8,000 Japanese soldiers and moved in on the POW camp to rescue those POWs. And there was a guy by the name of Alvie Robbins who was in that rescue group. And he remembers going into one of the cells and there, hunched down in the corner, was an American soldier just crying his eyes out. And he went over to him and took him by the arm. And the soldier looked up at, or the POW looked up at him and he said, "I thought we had been forgotten." And Alvie's response to him was, "You were never forgotten. We're here to rescue you." In a life where hopelessness is prevalent at any turn of the hat, at any moment in our lives, there is hopelessness because we don't know where to turn, we don't know what to do, because we feel like we've been abandoned. And just like those POW prisoners who nicknamed themselves ghosts because they had been forgotten, that no one cares about us. God gives us this message here in Jeremiah, the very beginning of it. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will fulfill the good promise." For us today, that good promise is Jesus Christ. For those of us today, the promise of God's Son coming to our rescue when all hope was lost, when we had no chance at all of having a personal relationship with God, along comes Jesus to fulfill that promise that we can have that relationship. That hopelessness is gone. All we have to do is turn back to God. Because God never moved. God has always remained. Now, I'm not going to promise you an easy life once you turn to God. That would be bogus. Life isn't easy. But what I will promise you is that you have hope through Christ. And that no matter what we go through in our lives, whether it be death or getting older, life changes, God is there with us through His Son. And the hope is offered. Newsweek wrote an article on a guy by the name of Eugene Lang, self-made millionaire. And so he was asked to go and speak to a group of sixth graders in inner city Chicago to give them some words of encouragement. And Eugene talks about how he pondered and pondered and pondered about what he was going to say to this group of sixth graders. Then he finally decided, you know, I'm just going to go in there and wing it. Now, I don't know how Eugene's wife was with that. I know how my wife is when I tell her I'm going to wing a sermon. But he simply went in and talked to them for a minute. And this is what he told them. Okay, y'all ready? These are profound words. Stay in school. Stay in school. Because you see, in this area of the United States had the highest dropout rate of the whole United States. Most of the kids in that elementary age group would quit school by the time they were in eighth grade. And Eugene said, stay in school. Oh, there was a little bit more that went with that. Because I'm sure those kids' parents told them, stay in school. But this is what Eugene told them. Stay in school, and I'll pay your way through college. Here you have a bunch of sixth graders that know what their future holds for them. The same thing that their parents' future was, and their grandparents' future was, and their great-great-grandparents' future was. You see, they were caught up in habitual poverty. And along comes this guy that says, stay in school and I'll pay your way through college. They asked one of the kids about that, and he said, you know, for the first time in my life, I had hope. Out of that sixth grade group that Eugene spoke to, 90% of that class graduated high school. And he paid for all of their college. You see, there is hope. When we feel like we have gotten caught up in the rat race and everything is gone and there's no hope for us, God offers us hope. It's kind of like this. This is what I tell my kiddos when they're in trouble with their wives. The hole's deep enough, quit digging. When we get into that place where we're in that hole and we don't see a way out, our hope is when God comes and takes the shovel away from us and then gives us His other hand and lifts us up out of that hole. No matter what we're going through in our lives today, God offers hope. All we have to do is accept it. Receive that from Christ. Knowing that the promise that He gave us from the very beginning, if you heard that part, it says, in those days and at that time, I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line. He will do what is just and right in the land, and in those days Judah will be saved and Jerusalem will live in safety. This is the name by which it will be called, the Lord, our righteous Savior. Even in Jeremiah's time, even when all of Israel was being exiled, God gave them hope in His Son, Jesus Christ. And since we know that God has always been, is, and always will be, that same promise is there today. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. So if today you feel like you are in a place where there's no way out, if you think that there is no hope, if you're searching, don't give up. The Rescuer is here to remind us that we're not forgotten and He's come for us. Let's pray. Dear God, throughout our lives, throughout every moment of our life, we face hopelessness. We face times in our lives when things seem like they have taken over. Situations, moments, decisions. And we feel like we're out there on an island all by ourselves. Father, we thank You for Your promise. Your promise that we're not forgotten, that You've come for us. And that You give us hope. Father, as we continue in our life, in our walk, help us to remember that if we'll stay with You, stay beside You, there's nothing that You can't handle. Let's keep our faith strong in You. So, Father, when we leave here today and we step back out into that world, Father, give us the strength we need to face whatever comes our way. And keep in our heart and on our mind that Your Son Jesus is there with us to give us our strength. We pray this in Your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.